when this world is on fire, God's children will shout hallelujah. What do you say? Happy Sabbath and pleasant morning to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you doing? Let me rephrase. How are you doing? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Indeed, we are happy to be in God's presence. I thank you, Sister Murray, for your kind words of introduction. And I thank the Sina Choir, that lovely number. I think it's a journey of our experience. This morning, I think you're going to need or want to take some notes this morning. So if you have your pen and your paper, I'll be talking about the judgment of both services. For this service, we'll talk about the judgment in context of Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7. For second service, we were talking about the judgment in context of the book of John. It's a very, very interesting study. You can't afford to miss it. If you have permitted, therefore, your Bibles to be with you, your hard copy, suffice it to say, the soft copies will do also. I want you to turn with me to what was ably read. That's Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I will just read verse 3 for emphasis as you keep that chapter close to you. The Bible says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. I wish to speak to you under the caption, who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? Loving Father, the moment is yours to speak to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. What is good for you, right? The background information to any biblical passage is what a setting is to a play. Revelation chapters 4 to 5 are the background chapters to the opening of the seven seals of Revelation, which are found in Revelation chapters 6 through to 8. In chapters 1 to 3, Jesus is seen amidst the churches on earth. With chapter 4, the scene shifts to heaven. Thus, Revelation chapter 4 and 5 are called the throne room encounter. In the unsurpassing and untold grandeur of the heavenly throne room, all intention is focused on God, His throne, and the worshipers around His throne. The splendor of worship was interrupted by piercing gaze on a sealed scroll at the right hand of God. The hauntingly probing question was asked by the angel in Revelation 5 verse 2. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? Who is worthy? This is an all-important question. So let's analyze what the angel is saying. If the seals are not broken, the content of the book will not be revealed or known or not been made known. In the throne room of God, John's joy turned into sorrow. For no man in heaven nor in earth neither under the earth was able or worthy to break the seals and to reveal the content of the scroll. Thus he wept much. In John's state of melancholy, one of the elders informed him, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals." In other words, John, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is able. John, weep no more, for the risen Lamb is worthy. But the question which begs for an answer this morning is, why is Jesus worthy to open the seal? Ranko Stefanovic, in his commentary and Revelation, will help us to understand that question at this juncture. Quote, "All the key terms and phrases, including the throne at the right hand of God, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the Shoot of David, and worthy are deliberately and appropriately chosen words to express the scene of Revelation chapter 5. They all seem to have a common denominator, the exalted office of honor and rulership," end quote. The description of Revelation chapter 5 is patterned after the Old Testament's installation ceremony for a king. Jesus was being installed as king of the universe in Revelation chapter 5. In the Old Testament, the installation ceremony, the new king would read the covenant book to his new kingdom. And that book was the book of Deuteronomy. There's something very important for us to grasp at this juncture, for us to understand the celebration in this sermon. The sealing in the Old Testament, when a scroll or book was being sealed in the Old Testament, it has two connotations. One, according to Isaiah chapter 29, the book of God was sealed because Israel weren't ready for God's special revelation. Israel, because of their hard heart, God sealed the book. They were not ready for God's revelation. And two, according to the book of Daniel, sealing is God, the concealment of God's special revelation until the end of time. But this is absolutely amazing. What is it? From the time of Joshua to the time of David, God's laws, the Torah, was sealed. Meaning God's children didn't want to learn, to understand, and to follow God's book. Thus, it was sealed. From the time of Joshua until the time of David. Very important for us to understand. Now we see in that trajectory, here we see that David's son, Jesus Christ, because the prophecy said that Jesus would be the son of David, David's son, now is given the scroll to unseal it, to declare its content to the universe. And that is why scholars believe that that sealed scroll is the book of Revelation. Because the name Revelation means unsealing, uncovering, or apocalypsis, unveiling. Very important. So thus we see Jesus, the King of the universe, was given the scroll. At this juncture, my friends, it is good to know that Jesus is still the King of the universe. Despite what is happening in our world today, we can speak with clarity and with conviction that Jesus, the risen Savior, is the King of the universe. And so now, Jesus has this scroll. And in response to Jesus taking the covenant book, the four beasts and 24 elders sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So according to the book of Revelation, two reasons why Jesus is worthy to open the seal scroll. One, because he is David's son. He is on the throne. He is in the lineage of David. Number two, because he died on Calvary's cross. And that is good news to know, that the blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed you and redeemed me. It's good to know that Jesus came to this earth to save filthy human beings who was tainted and corrupted by sin. But brothers and sisters, see him in your mind's eyes as he staggered under the weight of the cross to Golgotha's hill. See him how he was lacerated with stripes. See his brow, which was bruised by the scar. Watched him as they brought him to Golgotha's hill, and they pierced his hands. Please permit me to disabuse you of what you have watched on television. Jesus was not nailed in the palm of his hand. He was nailed in his wrists. And so that nail severed the median nerve, which doctors say it's very excruciating. See him on the cross as the nail is tousled. And see him as the blood ran from his hands, oozed from his head, and flowed from his feet. According to John chapter 19, the soldier plunged the spear in his side. According to the Greek word, their side does not mean your waist, but it means under your rib cage. And the Bible said blood and water flowed from his side, which are indicative of the fact that when Jesus was being beaten, fluid built up around his heart and around his lungs. And so when that spear plunged his side, blood and water flowed from his side. But I'm happy this morning that the hymnist took up the elaboration there at Calvary, and the hymnist said, "There is a fountain that's filled with blood, and it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And if sinners plunge beneath that fountain, we will lose all their guilty stains. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm happy that he died on Calvary's cross. Because he died, he is worthy." No wonder the songwriter said, "You alone is worthy to worship and adore. Thou Lamb of God victorious." The Lamb of God is indeed victorious. He is worthy, my friends. I wish sometimes when we come to church, we would praise God as we ought. I know that we are intellectual. I know that we are really rational, but rational beings are also emotional. And the Bible said that the beasts and the 24 elders worship God because He is worthy. If God is worthy this morning, we need to worship Him. If God has parted the Red Seas of your difficulties, then we need just to worship Him. If God had put some money in the bank account when you thought there was none there, then we need to lift our hands and worship Him. If God touched your mind when you thought you didn't remember the concept in the examination room, then worship Him, for He is worthy. But what should elicit our greatest worship is the fact that Jesus died. It's that fact that He died. And so on the cross, He said this potent word, "It is finished." The Greek is tetelestai, means paid in full. Paid in full. This is a concept which is elaborated on from the Old Testament. A person who would or could buy your property was known as a goel or redeemer. And so if you were so poor, Elder Smith, that you couldn't deliver yourself or redeem yourself, your next of kin could buy you or buy what you owned. And so the Bible said that when Jesus said paid in full, it meant that Jesus became our next of kin. And what we lost because of sin, Jesus had purchased it for us. He bought it back for us. That is why we need to cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb of God." He is worthy. And so according to Revelation 6, the worthy Lamb is now opening the seals. Opened the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, now sixth. The opening of the sixth seal unleashes a series of events which are cosmic or worldwide in scope. According to Revelation chapter 6, 12 to 17, mark that in your Bibles. The events are the great earthquake. Here the Bible leaves. I'm giving you time to find the word of God. It's Revelation chapter 6, 12 to 17. The events are a great earthquake, darkening of the sun and moon, and the falling of the stars. The language of the sixth seal reminds us of the final judgment. Read with me verses 15 to 17. Revelation chapter 6, 15 to 17. And the Bible says, let's start from 14. Just to emphasize verse 14, 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This sad scene provoked an interesting statement and question by the rebellious masses. The statement is, the great day of his wrath is come. The question, who shall be able to stand? Revelation chapter 7 is believed to have written to answer this probing question. And so Revelation chapter 7 is an interlude between the sixth and seventh seal, between Revelation chapter 6 verse 17 and Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. This chapter is written to answer one question: who shall be able to stand? According to Revelation chapter 7 verse 3, only those who are sealed will be able to stand. Only those who are sealed will be able to stand. And so at this juncture, it's important for us to understand what the sealing is. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. Let's read some New Testament texts that have the same Greek word, seal. This morning we are using our Bibles, amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, understanding this Greek word, seal, that same Greek word. The Bible reads thus. Paul said to the Ephesians, in whom, Jesus, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of what? Truth. The gospel of your salvation. Ye were what? Sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise, which is your earnest. Mark that word. Underline that in your Bible. We're going to elaborate a bit on that word. Which is the earnest of your what? Inheritance. So according to Ephesians chapter 1, when we have accepted Christ, we are... Talk with me now. When we have accepted Christ, then we are what? Sealed. The sealing is a dynamic term to mean you are owned by God. He is protecting his image in you. Three, you are assured of salvation. We'll unpack them a little bit. One, you are owned by God. He is protecting his image in you. And the primary purpose of the sealing is to assure you of what? Salvation. Another text that has this word is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. Paul again said, who hath also sealed us and given what? The same word again, that same word, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Let's understand this word, earnest, so that we can have a better understanding of the seal of Revelation 7. The Greek word for earnest in both our passages mean, write it down, money which is purchased, money which in purchase is given as a pledge or down payment that full amount will subsequently be paid. That's the Greek word. That's the meaning. The Greek word is arabon. Let's run that one more time. The meaning for the word earnest is money which in purchase is given as a pledge, Pastor, or down payment that full amount will subsequently be paid. And you know this. Some of you walk down to courts. You walk into Singer. You see that flat screen TV you like, or any other appliance, and you say, or a laptop, or a Galaxy 2, 3, iPhone 5. I want this phone, but I just have $30,000. That's a down payment. And that down payment is a pledge that you are serious about getting the phone. Other read. You're serious. So you see, Paul is using a known concept of the ancient world. Before we shout, in the ancient world, a seal gives one validity to a document. It guarantees genuineness of articles. Validity to a document and its genuineness of an article. For us, it's a signature to a letter. For those who are in scholarship, you have to have that article properly footnoted and sourcing seal. And so let's understand this fully loaded term in context of Revelation. So here we see, according to Paul, the Holy Spirit in our lives is a pledge that God is serious about you making it to heaven. It is a pledge that the new earth will be yours. God is serious about you being in His kingdom. So that is why He has given to us His Holy Spirit. And thus we see in Revelation chapter 7 verse 3, then God said, I will not allow my wrath to destroy you. And so the sealing, according to Revelation 7 verse 13, His Holy Spirit protecting us from the wrath of God. Isn't that good news? And that is why we often use this song in crusade. Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow when this world is on fire? Because when this world is on fire, we have a God in whom we are saved and sanctified. I'm so happy to know that I don't have to fear the seven last plagues according to Revelation 16, because I am protected by God's Holy Spirit who lives within me. And if God lives in you, you don't have to fear the final day of judgment, because God is serious about you making it to His kingdom. Beatrice says this, quote, the seal of God is intended to protect the saints from demonic powers who torture men so that they seek death rather than life, end quote. I'm so happy to know that the righteous shall be protected in the final day of God's judgment. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but the loving kindness will not be removed from you. Isaiah 54 verse 10. So while the mountains are shaking and this earth struggles like a drunken man, the good news is to know that God's love towards me will never be moved, because God's Holy Spirit lives in my heart. The prophet Nahum asked a very interesting, important question. Who can stand before his wrath? He answered his own question by saying, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows who take refuge in him. In the last day, my refuge is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the last days, my refuge is in the God who died on Calvary for my sins. And so let's end where we have started. Who shall be able to stand? Elder Smith, can you answer me this question? Who shall be able to stand? Sister Golden, can you answer me this morning? Who shall be able to stand? Come here, Pastor. Can you answer me this question this morning? Who shall be able to stand? I guess they can't. They're not responding. Come here, John. Can you answer me this morning? I hear John whispering to me, telling me that the sealed can be able to stand. This sealed people of God will stand in the final day of judgment. And that's good news. That those who, in whom the Spirit of God lives, will be able to stand. There's one more thing to tell you about the seal. I didn't tell you, but I tell you now. The final statement on earnest, that same word, earnest, Audubon, is God's gift of the Holy Spirit is the pledge for the final inheritance in Christ. For the final inheritance in who? In Christ. Revelation chapter 21 tells us of the final inheritance we have. It tells us of the glorious day we are looking for. Listen to John in holy vision interrupted. He looked up and he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more what? A sea. Oh, this word is very important. John said, no more sea, final inheritance. A sea here doesn't mean there have been no literal ocean, but John used this term symbolically to mean there have been no more separation. And so my final inheritance, one day I will see my loving grandmother again. One day I don't have to wait until I go X place to meet those I love, but we will have a party in heaven together. Whenever I need to see my friends and whenever I need to see my family, they will be right beside me on the streets of gold. God has this as our final inheritance. And I, John, saw the holy city. The what? Holy city. New Jerusalem. Coming down from God. Out of where? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great what? Voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And what it says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. My final inheritance is that God will move from heaven and dwell here on earth with me. It gets sweeter. It gets sweeter. We have to close. It gets sweeter. Verse 4. And God shall wipe. And God shall wipe. And God shall wipe. I remember when we were funeralizing my grandmother. I saw my uncle Not only crying, but bawling. He's a Jamaican. He knows how to bawl. I saw him. But my friends, the Bible says that God shall wipe away our tears. Elaglud. And I don't know when that will happen, whether it will be there or here. But God will wipe away our tears. No more crying. And there shall be no more death. There shall be no more, neither what? Sorrow. Nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away and become all things are new. Thank be to God, we have a new nature, a new country, and that new country, its founder and maker is God. I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for that city. And I know someone is asking the question this morning. How long? Not long. The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come. How long? Not long. Soon I will be done with the troubles of this world, going home to meet with God. How long? Not long. Jesus soon will come. God bless you.